Always making an entrance, Jamie.
I'm trying my best. I'm
Goodness.
about as computer savvy as, I don't know, I'm
Well,
just
this is why
terrible.
you build stuff, you're not IT.
Yes, I could build it, I can't figure it out.
There you go.
What's going on? Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's good. Living the dream.
Yes, someone's got it.
Oh, no, it's good.
Somebody's got
Everything's
it.
good. I know.
I think this should be quick tonight.
You don't
Now you
jinx
did it.
it.
No, I just
Oh,
mean, I don't
man.
mean, I mean just time frame. Not
In
whatever happens,
general,
happens time frame.
in
It's like we have meetings at work and then someone asks the same question again at the end of the meeting and everybody's like, oh, can we get out of here?
general. Well, the kid today asked questions at 2:59 p.m. just before the school bell rings.
Yeah, that's always fun. We need a couple of days of rain to wash some of this crap out of here.
I can't work with that, Mr. Gordon. We can't deal with him.
Jamie Gordon's a sweetheart.
Oh, Angelo's here.
At least once a month.
Now I know you're all
Always
full of
once a
shit.
month.
You're all full of shit, Jack.
They are. I was wondering how it started already. Jen,
I
correct
know
one
Okay,
thing.
excuse me.
Yes.
We're ready to broadcast, Laura.
Okay,
We're good to
well,
go.
we're gonna wait a moment. Brenda's
Okay.
having a hard time getting on. I just
Okay.
resent it. Oh, wait, I see her. Hold on.
Hey, Angelo.
Good morning, afternoon. How are you? Thank you.
Good.
I was just asked if I know Tom Barlow. I said, well, unless there's more than one, I do.
I assume
He's
the
the
answer
only
was
one.
yes.
All right, Madam Chair is on.
We're good to go.
Yes, we're good to go, Stephanie. Madam Chair, whenever you're ready, no rush.
Okay.
Anything, Angela?
I'll find it. Don't carry my business with me.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay. The Piscataway Township Board, Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, notice made available to the township clerk, notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Ms. Buckley, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Waller,
Present.
Councilwoman Cahill,
Here.
Ms. Corcoran,
Here.
Ms. Saunders,
Here.
Reverend Kenny,
Present.
Mr. Atkins.
Here.
Did Mr. Foster make it? Nope. Mr. Ahmed, Mr. Echeverria,
Here.
and Madam Chair.
Present. Mr. Barlow, could you read the open public meeting notice?
Certainly, Madam Chair. In keeping with the guidelines that have been disseminated by the Department of Community Affairs, the Planning Board has tried its best to comply with the Open Public Meeting Act. In addition, the applicant whose matters will be heard this evening had the login information for the online meeting platform put forth in their notice. Members of the public who wish to be heard will be afforded an opportunity as if they were in actual physical space. We've complied with the guidelines and the Open Public Meeting Act, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
We did that.
Oh, we
We
did the roll
pledged.
call. Number
Yes, I
seven.
remember saying here. Okay.
Salute to the flag.
Over my right shoulder is the flag. Can we all recite the Pledge of Allegiance in unison, please? I pledge
I pledge
allegiance
allegiance
to the
to the
flag
flag
of the
of the
United
United
States of
States of
America
America
and to
and
the
to the
Republic
Republic
for
for
which it
which it
stands,
stands,
one
one
nation,
nation,
under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all.
Can we have the swearing in of the professionals?
Myself. Can you please raise your right hand? I can't see.
Browns
See,
is up.
Carol, I got it right here.
He's waving.
Okay. Do you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Are there any changes to our agenda tonight, Mr. Barlow?
Madam Chair, none that I'm aware of. We have two matters on for this evening.
Okay, thank you. May I have a motion to pay the duly audited bills?
Reverend Kenny, I make a motion to pay the duly ordered bills.
Do we have a second?
Carol Saunders, second.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Do we have a resolution to memorialize tonight from the January 14th meeting?
None.
None.
Thank you. Do we have minutes to adopt tonight?
Yes. Madam Chair, Carol Saunders, I'd like to memorialize the minutes from the regular meeting of January 14th, 2026.
Do we have a second?
Reverend Kenny, I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Foster's here. Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 1025 PB19/20 Vias and Victor 51 Holly Road Associates for a minor subdivision and bulk variance. Mr. Lavender is appearing.
Thank you, Madam Chair and board members and professionals. Thank you all very much for having us this evening. As you stated, my client's 51 Holly Road Associates. The property issue is 4 Seymour Terrace. It's in the R10 district, and it's currently a single lot. And my client proposes to subdivide the existing tract into two lots. The one lot, the first lot that would be subdivided, is fully conforming. The second lot would require variance for lot width and frontage. And there are some existing bulk variances. Again, they already exist. And I have one professional witness tonight, Mr. Angelo Valtudo, who's both an engineer and a planner. And with the board's permission, I'd like to have him sworn in. And I will give him my seat, and I will take his seat behind me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Hello. Well, I don't know how to say your name.
I don't know how to stand up.
Okay. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Can you please say your name for the record?
Sure. The name for the record is Angelo, middle initial J, last name Valetutto, Valetutto, 424 Amboy Avenue in Woodbridge. I'm a licensed professional engineer, a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. Both licenses are still in good standing, and I've had the honor and pleasure of appearing before your board probably close to 40 years.
Thank you, sir. Your credentials are acceptable to us for testimony as an expert in both fields.
Thank you, ma'am. As Mr. Lavender indicated, we're here this evening for what we believe to be a fairly simple application for a minor subdivision. As he's indicated, it's right now a lot that's over 22,000 square feet. It has an existing dwelling of 3 bedrooms fronting on Seymour Terrace. The property as it exists now is a corner lot. Its other frontage is along Wade Street. And the application is to subdivide to create a second lot with just frontage on Wade Street, in which it'll be fully conforming in lot width, lot area, and lot depth and frontage. However, we are not seeking any development at this time. However, with the board's approval, our application is to seek that this building or this property, excuse me, the new lot, will be a fully conforming use for the zone, being single family, and we envision it to have 3 bedrooms, which is what the existing dwelling has, that will be still conforming in terms of most of the items, except as Mr. Lavender indicated, with regard to lot width, where we'll be at 99.69 feet versus 100 required, and a frontage of a similar 99.69, where 100 is required. And the other items, we receive reports from both the zoning officer and the board planner, and we can comply. And already the applicant has already removed the fence and removed the shed, which were two items that were in the zoning report. And we agreed, should we re hopefully receive the benefit of the approval this evening, to show on a revised plan the fact that both items, the shed and the fencing that was non-conforming for the zone, were removed. In addition, we can comply in total with the board planner's report, and the one item is to show an entry with regard to lot frontage, but again, at that same number, 9969, and changed what I had shown as two side yards to make the one frontage on the existing dwelling that fronts on Seymour, to use that behind it as its rear yard, and that dimension would be 37.1 feet on its closest, which is in excess of the 25 feet. So that as it stands now, the only variance would be with regard to lot frontage and lot width, where we are 0.31, which comes out with just under 4 inches of 3.72 to be precise. From a planning standpoint, I suggest or offer that we can provide it as a C1 hardship, which, as the board is aware, to show that of peculiar and exceptional practical difficulties due to exceptional and undue hardships upon the applicant arising out of the exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or specific piece of property. And it's with that specific piece of property I'm offering that we do not have the ability to expand the property in both width and frontage to give us the exact 100, because we are a corner lot, so that's right into a public right of way. And then the lot immediately adjoining us is not only fully developed, but it is already at the minimum of 100 feet, so that we do not have the ability to increase our width without causing a domino effect and creating other variances that we believe can be addressed this evening. It is an existing condition. We're not making it any worse.
And
And
it's only
that,
like just the 4 inches, right?
yeah, and like I said, 3.72 inches.
That's the difference. I mean, that's really
Yeah,
the
that's
difference.
how much we're mi that's how much we're missing. So
For all practical
I
purposes, it's 100. It meets it, but for 3 inches.
yeah, it's a de minimis, but again, I was asked to keep it as tight as possible. Obviously, if there's any questions from the board or its professionals or the public, we'll be happy to answer them. But quite honestly, we believe that through the efforts of the applicant, who is the owner of the property, and my office, and the guidance with your planner and your zoning officer, I mean, the first blush, we didn't install the optic wiring. So we did that. And other than that, I'm going to take a sip of water. And if there's any questions, Madam Chairwoman, we'll be happy to answer them to the best of my ability.
Members of the board, do you have any questions of this witness or on this application?
Dawn, you're all good with it?
I am Tom. They agreed to all of the reports, so no issues.
And same here. This is a, you know, ultimately when you clean up, you know, the different items, it's pretty darn simple. Angela, one thing, this is a pretty deep lot, right?
It is.
It is. And part of it, like the existing fence, this current owner is not using the whole lot, right? So there's like a dead zone of like 30 feet, right?
Yeah, pretty much. If let me pull my plan out, Ron.
Well, since Mr. Lavender was leading the witness, I'm leading the witness too. This is not an efficient use of land. I mean, you've got like 30 feet that does nothing. So by doing the subdivision, it's more in context with the area. I was in this area. Forgive me, I didn't go during this cold spell. It felt like it was a North Pole, but I remember it from the swim club, which is only a block away. So by moving this, now you're going to have something that's more in context, in my opinion. But if you want to confirm that you agree, that's fine.
No, and like I said, I had drafted and put together a fairly lengthy, and I know you have items beyond us this evening that may not be as simple, but you're 100% correct. The existing fence that establishes the rear yard coming from Seymour is right at the point that we're doing the subdivision. So it's the only use of that portion was the shed that we're removing or has been removed already.
Okay, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I'll open it up to the public for any questions. Members of the public, you've heard the testimony of this witness regarding this application. Does anyone in the public have any questions that they would like to ask this witness?
You can raise your hand or unmute. No one.
Thank you. Close to the public. If there are no more any questions, would someone like to pose a motion for this application?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the application subject to the CME report and the staff reports.
Madam Chair, I will second that, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller.
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill.
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran. We
Are
lost.
you muted, Ms. Corcoran?
I think we lost her.
I think she dropped.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to wait for her to come back. Yeah, because all of a sudden Carol showed up right
Yeah,
in was on
I could finish the roll call though. Ms. Saunders?
Finish the roll call and since she'll
Yes.
see if she's back.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Echevarria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you guys. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.
Have a good
There she
night.
is. She's back.
Dawn,
Sorry.
what's your vote?
I apologize. Yes.
Yes, on the motion. Thank you.
Thank
Oh,
you.
no, what happened?
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you
Have a
all.
good night.
Tom, good to see you. Bye-bye, everybody.
I
I
Thank
just figured the
you.
cat hit your tablet or something.
Okay, item
It may
number
come
11.
for us.
Item number 11, 25 PB 17 slash 18 Vias and Victor KRCX Price and Price REIT LLC for a preliminary and final site plan and a bulk variance. Who's appearing for this application?
Good evening, Madam Chair. My name is Danielle Kinback, attorney at Prime Tuvel Maselli on behalf of the applicant.
Thank you, Ms. Kinbeck.
Thank you. So as the chair indicated, the application is by KRCX Price REIT LLC, who is the owner of the shopping center known as Piscataway Town Center, located at 1280 Centennial Avenue. It's also identified as Block 5601, Lot 1.02 on the township tax map. The property is approximately 9.57 acres and improved with a large shopping center building and one pad site. The application before you tonight for preliminary and final site plan with bulk variance and design waiver relief is seeking approval to convert the existing 2,553 square foot bank building on the property, which has been vacant for a number of years, into a Dunkin' coffee shop with drive-through. You'll hear there are a number of variances being requested with the application and may have seen them in your review letters. Although many of them are related to existing non-conforming conditions on the property that are not being altered by the application, you'll hear our professionals testify to them. Predominantly, the new relief that is associated with the improvements we're making to convert the bank to the Dunkin', excuse me, is a slight reduction in the parking count, sign variances, and relief from buffering the loading area for the Dunkin' use. Prior to the hearing tonight, we did have a pre-application meeting with the township, as well as a workshop meeting with the board professionals. So we worked to address those comments and concerns before we came before you tonight. For the record, our public notice was published in the Courier News on January 30th, 2026. It was also mailed to all property owners within 200 feet on January 30th, 2026. So I submit that the board has jurisdiction to hear the application.
I would concur.
Thank you, Mr. Marlowe. So we plan to present the testimony of three witnesses, our civil engineer, Mr. Richard Ortiz, our traffic engineer, Craig Paragoy, and our professional planner, Justin Osiello. So if it pleases the board, we can have our first witness sworn. And that would be Mr. Ortiz.
Mr. Ortiz, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give you the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Can you please spell your last name for the record?
Sure, it's Ortiz.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ortiz. Can you provide the board with your professional and educational background?
Sure thing. So I graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from Rutgers University in 2019. I am a principal with Dynamic Engineering Consultants with over 6 years of design experience for commercial, industrial, and residential projects. During my experience, I've worked on over 50 small to medium-sized commercial developments similar to this project, and I am a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. My license is in good standing, and I have previously been qualified as an expert in the field of civil engineering.
Does the board have any questions on Mr. Ortiz's qualifications?
No, we have no questions. You may proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Ortiz, do you want to pull up an exhibit or describe the existing conditions and surrounding area of the property subject to the application?
I do. So I'm going to just share my screen here.
Sure. Ms. Kinback, if any of the exhibits that are being shared are not the specific plans that were submitted and have any yellow highlighting or blue marks on them like this one, we'll just mark them as A1, A2, and just keep going, okay?
Okay, that sounds good. So we'll mark this one A1. And Mr. Ortiz, you want to describe the exhibit for the record?
Sure. So this is the aerial map exhibit dated 2/11/2026, prepared by Dynamic Engineering.
Thank you.
All right, so with that, this, as Danielle had mentioned, the site is a previously or an existing shopping center located at the intersection of Centennial Avenue and South Washington Avenue within the shopping center zone. The existing development does have access to the site from Centennial Avenue via a signalized intersection. And there is a right-in, right-out access along South Washington Avenue here where you can see my cursor. To the north of the property, there you can see there's a wooded area as well as some additional commercial properties all within the same SC zone. To the east, we have more wooded area with additional commercial properties beyond, again, within that same SC zone. And to the south is a wooded area that does include an offsite stream. The properties beyond that area are located within the R20 zone, mainly undeveloped in this portion of the area. And you can see this is an industrial warehouse located to the southwest. To the west is South Washington Avenue, again, with some more industrial and office uses. Those are located within the LI5 zone. As Danielle had mentioned, zooming into the site, one of the existing buildings is a larger plus or minus 9.5 thousand square foot retail building, and the other is the smaller 2,553 square foot former bank with a drive-through. Generally, the project area is focused on the northwest region of the property, as we are converting that bank from a bank to a Dunkin'. Moving along to the next exhibit that I think we can enter as A2. Once it loads, you can see this is the Dunkin' location map exhibit dated 2/11/2026, also prepared by Dynamic Engineering. We just wanted to note for the record that the plan is for this existing Dunkin' that's located at the intersection of Centennial Avenue and Stelton Road, which does not presently have a drive-through lane, to be relocated to this new site, which is the subject property. We just wanted to document that so that was aware to the board. Moving along, this is the overall site plan exhibit. We do have a similar sheet within the site plan set that was submitted. However, this one has been modified slightly to update the notes based on comments received from the township professionals. So this is the overall site plan exhibit dated 2/11/2026, prepared by Dynamic Engineering. And I think we can enter this one as A3. The purpose of having this overall view up is to go over some of those existing nonconforming conditions that Danielle had mentioned. Most of those are captured within the review letter issued by CME, and a large majority of them will remain unchanged as part of the project. A few of those include the minimum lot area. Overall, the minimum lot area requirement in the SC zone is 10 acres. We're just short of that at about 9.6 acres. But otherwise, the site frontage, the lot width, and the lot depth do comply with the zone requirements. The existing building footprints exceed the maximum building coverage requirement of 20%. Under existing conditions, the percentage is 25.3%. That is not going to change as part of this application. When you zoom into the center of the site, there is an existing clock tower located at the approximate center of the larger building. That clock tower is at plus or minus 60 feet in height and does exceed the 20-foot height requirement for accessory structures. We did identify in a prior resolution that's, you know, part of the property history that that clock tower was approved at 60 feet with a prior requirement of 50 feet. That's remaining unchanged as most of the project is focused on the northwest corner of the site. Sticking with the buildings, the front and rear yard setbacks for both buildings do not fully comply with the minimum setback requirements. Again, a majority of these remain unchanged with the exception of one of the setback requirements, which is related to the existing canopy of the bank. That setback is going to be improved from 77.5 feet to 99.4 feet as part of the project. Behind the property or towards the rear of the property, there are two existing trash enclosures, one up here in the northeast portion and one down here in the southwest portion. Those do not comply with the minimum setback requirements, but given the adjacent offsite wooded areas, which are undeveloped at the moment, they are substantially buffered. Move into the parking lot. In general, the parking lot does not comply with front or rear yard setbacks, but there is a substantial berm along the front, the property frontage, and decent landscaping that we believe sufficiently buffers the parking area while also maintaining visibility of the shopping center from the roadway. Sticking with the parking lot, it does not fully satisfy the minimum number of required trees, although it does have substantial trees along the frontage and wide landscape islands within the center of the site that do have trees placed within them. Comparing this, to the adjacent developments in the area, it seems to be a bit more than what's seen elsewhere along the same corridor. So again, in the respect of maintaining visibility to the interior of the site, we don't plan to supplement those trees with additional trees. However, we did prepare and submit a proposed landscape design for this area of the site to accommodate the new site improvements. Throughout the site, mainly along the rear of the larger existing building, there are a few instances of substandard parking stall dimensions and drive aisle widths. A majority of those are located along the rear of the building, mainly in areas which would be frequented by employees who would be familiar with those conditions. So we're not too concerned about those resulting in an unsafe condition, just given that they won't be, primarily used by customers who are unfamiliar with the site. Related to the main site access points along Centennial Avenue and South Washington Avenue, those do exceed the maximum width requirements of 35 feet, mainly due to their design and layout. As previously mentioned, the Centennial Ave access is part of a signalized intersection, so that leads to a larger width. It's a great access to the site and promotes success of the site by allowing full movement along Centennial Avenue. And similarly, along South Washington Avenue, if I zoom in here, this driveway is restricted to right in and right out movements. So because of this pork chop, this concrete apron that's in the middle of the driveway, that leads to a wider width. And finally, the last of the list of existing non-conforming conditions relates to the two freestanding ID signs, one here near the main intersection that the site is adjacent to, and then one down in this area. Those do not meet the minimum setback requirement of 50 feet. They're at about 17 feet and 25 feet respectively, but they do fit in well with the existing landscaping and serve to identify the overall development without specifically identifying tenants. So they you know, those will stay unchanged as part of this project, as we don't propose to add any Dunkin' signage to those existing signs.
Thank you, Rich. I know it was a lot of pre-existing conditions to walk through. I think in Mr. Reinhardt's letter, there was two more listed associated with the parking lot, a distance from the residential zone, and I apologize if you covered that. And maximum amount of parking in the front yard area.
Correct. Thanks for catching me there. So the front yard area, we conservatively took that to mean this area between the main site frontage and the front of the larger building. So as you can see, that we, you know, the existing shopping center does exceed that 50% requirement. However, you know, it's mainly due to efficiency. It's the most efficient way to park a site is outside in, with your building towards the back. So that's mainly the reason why that's been laid out that way. Obviously, given the minimal scope of work we're looking to do here, that condition is to propose to remain unchanged. And then as it relates to the residential zone, I will shift back to the aerial map exhibit. I believe that relates to the rear of the site, if this loads. So as I previously mentioned, there is a stream offsite here that does basically run along the back of the property. Given that stream is there and you know, and this area is presently undeveloped, we don't expect that development will really ever take place there. So the parking that is along the property line here should be substantially buffered from any future residential development that may take place a bit further south. Danielle, were there any others that I may have missed?
No, I think we covered all of them, and the remaining ones will be addressed in explaining the site improvements and sure. Proposed conditions.
Sure. So with that, I'll move into the proposed conditions. This here on the screen is the site plan exhibit rendering.
Madam Chair, if I could just interrupt for 1 second, for clarification. The property to the due south is the Ambrose Doty Brook County Parkland, so that will not be developed. There is another parcel after that that was approved for a storage facility, but everything else is all part of the parkland, just for the record. Okay.
The mayor read my mind. I was going to say it's a park, so we're good. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. So this is the site plan exhibit rendering, dated 2/11/2026, and also prepared by Dynamic Engineering. This is basically a colorized rendered version of the site plan that was submitted.
For the record, this will be A4.
Oh, correct. Thank you. Again, this is a rendered version of the site plan that was submitted with the proposed landscape design superimposed. We did, along the property frontage, show trees based on existing conditions, and most of the proposed plantings are generally in this area around the building. The application proposes to reoccupy the vacant building with a Dunkin' featuring a drive-through, which is permitted within the zone. All proposed improvements will take place entirely within the existing developed limits of the site, and actually will result in a very minor reduction of impervious coverage on site. A few key proposed improvements include a redesigned drive-through lane, providing 9 vehicles of stacking and a partial bypass, which supports the Dunkin' standard. So that's up here. The existing bank had a stack of about 4 to 5 spaces. Dunkin' requires a bit more than that, so that's why this is extended to due east. Again, we did maintain a bypass lane here after the order point in case somebody wants to bail out as a, you know, an accessory to the drive-through lane. Mainly to maintain efficient and safe circulation near the drive-through entrance, we are proposing to convert this drive aisle that goes along the outer perimeter of the site from a two-way function to a one-way function. That'll allow cars to basically, you know, safely maneuver past the drive-through lane and avoid any issues with cars coming towards the drive-through lane exit. With that conversion, this drive-through lane, this drive aisle, which has a minimum width of 24 feet, is below the minimum requirement of 25 feet. Again, given its one-way functionality, we don't expect this would be an issue. Because of the extension of this drive-through lane, parking is impacted because of that. We are reducing the overall number of spaces by 11 spaces, taking the total down from 489 to 478. But the layout of this design was prepared with the goal of minimizing impact to reduced parking, and also improving and maintaining safe circulation around the perimeter of the site. Zooming in here to the proposed drive-through equipment, the menu board, the order canopy, and the clearance bar, those have been identified as accessory structures that fall within the 100-foot front yard setback. Again, those are located as needed for the drive-through lane, and with the way we design the drive-through lane, if we were to locate those within the setback, it would reduce it would result in additional reduced parking. So that was one of the main goals in this layout, is to avoid or minimize the impact of parking on site. Moving away from the drive-through lane and into additional accessories for the building, we are proposing a new 10 by 20 foot masonry trash enclosure at the rear of the building. Refuse truck collection to this trash enclosure is anticipated to take place during off-peak hours, approximately 2 to 3 times per week, which is consistent with the remainder of the existing shopping center. To access that trash enclosure, there is a new sidewalk that's proposed here with access to the existing service door. This door will be used by employees to dispose of trash and also for delivery loading, which is anticipated to take place in this drive aisle here, again, during off-peak hours. The largest anticipated vehicle is consistent with, you know, what you might be used to with a Duncan. It's a standard unit box truck. And as far as delivery frequencies, dry goods are expected to take place once a week, whereas donut deliveries typically take place daily overnight. Sticking with operations and regarding employees specifically, a total of 15 employees are anticipated. Those would be split into 3 shifts. And the hours of operation will be 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. Moving away from the building, you'll note here that this area light has been relocated. That's mainly because there was a landscape island here where the new drive-through entrance will be. It's a minor shift to the lighting that accommodates the new layout. As mentioned in the CME planning review letter, there are a few minor deviations from minimum or maximum lighting requirements, which require design waiver relief. These conditions exist today and are modified slightly just due to this relocated area light, but still represent safe lighting levels even with the minor deviations. As previously mentioned, we're proposing some supplemental low-lying landscaping around the drive-through lane that's up here, down here, and then also around the building over here. I had a conversation with the township landscape architect earlier today, and he noted that the proposed landscaping design was sufficient with no comments beyond those that he provided in the staff report dated January 20th, 2026. moving back to the overall site plan exhibit, I believe this was A3, and primarily related to site signage, we are proposing 7 new directional signs, again, to promote safe circulation to the drive-through lane. Those are generally highlighted in yellow here. Two of which, if I zoom into Centennial Ave, two of which are located closer than the minimum 10-foot requirement, mainly because we expect Centennial Ave to be the main point of access to the drive-through lane, given that's where most of the traffic enters the site. We are proposing that those are 4.4 feet away from the property line as opposed to the minimum 10-foot requirement in order to promote visibility of the signs. Beyond that, on the other side of the site at the South Washington access, there is an additional drive-through directional sign. That sign will be compliant with the minimum 10-foot setback requirement. And then throughout the sign, we do have another four sign. Throughout the site, we do have another 4 signs that help with directing traffic effectively to the drive-through entrance. Otherwise, existing site utilities and grading and drainage patterns will largely remain unchanged given the scope of the site work. In general, the proposed site improvements mainly focus on refining circulation and providing a longer drive-through stack to support the needs of the proposed use. In addition, the applicant is amenable to working with the township professionals to satisfy the fiber optic line requirement, as well as other general site maintenance requirements that were raised in their review letters.
Thank you, Mr. Ortiz. With the lighting deviations, can you explain before we get in the elevations, if there's any impact to adjoining property by those deviations and how the deviations being altered by this application?
No, so I wouldn't expect any impact to the adjacent properties. I mean, if I move back to the aerial map exhibit, there are some lights along the back of the property that we did not model. We did limit our lighting model to this area, but these are mainly security purposes. And again, with the wooded areas that are offsite, that no impact to adjacent properties. Regarding the site frontage, there is one minor deviation of a 0.6 foot candle that we've noted along the property frontage where 0.5 is the max permitted. Minor deviation with really no impact to adjacent properties, especially given the lighting that would be coming from the adjacent roadways.
Thank you. And there was an additional waiver noted in the review letter that I think you evaluated to find the site was conforming related to parking lot landscaping, 20% in front yard, 10% in other areas. Can you verify if that complies?
Yes, that's correct. We did run the calculations and had sent that a markup that I guess documents those measurements to CME. But yes, the existing property does comply with those percentages.
Okay, thank you.
So with that, this exhibit here is the architectural colored rendering dated 2/9/2026 and prepared by GK&A Architects. I believe
we'll mark this A5. And just so the board is aware, this has not previously been submitted, and Mr. Ortiz will walk you through the revisions. But some of the comments we got on the workshop, we had originally proposed 5 facade signs, and we revised the design and now have 3 facade signs.
Thank you, Danielle. So related to building renovations, I don't have it up on the screen, but the interior floor plan will, you know, basically be reorganized to accommodate what Duncan typically prefers. Outside of the building, there is a replacement of the bank canopy that will be replaced here by a smaller canopy. The existing canopy is presently 77.5 feet setback from the property line, whereas this smaller canopy is, I think it was about 99.4 feet back from the property line. In addition to that, the existing ATM and teller window will be replaced by a brand new drive-through window based on Duncan's standard. And as far as the rest of the facade, you can see here, if you're familiar with the site, that we're not proposing to modify the look or the feel of the building, mostly to just maintain consistency with the other architecture that exists on site. We are proposing, as Danielle noted, 3 new building mounted signs down from the original 5 that were part of the original submittal. Those are consistent with the 3 signs that the existing bank used to have. And 2 of these signs, mainly this one on the southern facade and this one on the northern facade, are fully compliant with the maximum allowable area requirement. The sign that is on the western facade here, which is basically where the main entrance of the building is, that sign is just over, when you count the white background, it's just over the maximum allowable sign area, which would be 46.4 square feet or 10% of this facade area. Including the white area, the sign is at 54.6 square feet. When you exclude the white background and just focus on the text itself, which is basically the sign, that area is actually smaller and compliant. It's at 39.2 square feet. So the white background is mainly provided to improve visibility of the sign against the existing brick color and can be seen as part of the building facade. So with that, I mean, to quickly summarize my testimony, the project delivers a minimal impact improvement to a long established shopping center by converting a vacant building into a modern Dunkin' with drive-through. Again, all of the proposed work is fully contained within the existing developed areas and enhances circulation while preserving the existing character of the site. The requested variances and waivers relate mainly to longstanding conditions or minor adjustments necessary for safe and efficient site operations, really without creating any adverse impacts to the site itself or the surrounding area. And before I close, just touching on the township professional review letters, the applicant has agreed to satisfy those comments, and we've also received approval for the project from the township fire official and DPW. And at this time, I'm happy to answer any questions that may not have been addressed in my testimony.
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill. I think I really just had one question. If I may.
Sure. No, go ahead, Councilman Cable.
Okay,
Cahill.
Thank you. The company that owns this Dunkin' Donuts is not affiliated with the Dunkin' Donuts that's at the corner of Centennial and Stelton. Are they the same? I'm just wondering, is one moving?
Mr. Ortiz started his testimony with that the intent is for the Dunkin' without a drive-through at Centennial and Stelton to be relocated here.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. My audio
no
was
problem.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair,
Reverend Kenny, go ahead. Reverend
question.
Kenny, is that you, Reverend Kenny?
Yes, it is.
Can we take this on? Can we take what you call down?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Stop sharing here.
Reverend Kenny, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Just one question. There is no more baking on site at this Dunkin' Donuts, is there? I know before they used to have baking on site, but you said you have delivery trucks. That's baking on your master site and then delivered to this place. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that's the only question I had. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the board?
I have one, a couple.
Go ahead, Madam
Chair.
Mayor Waller.
Does Ms. Ortiz, do you know that sometimes Applebee's has car wash fundraisers on the side of their building that stacks cars up?
No, I was not aware of that.
Well, typically from May to October, mm-hmm. they allow some of the civic organizations to have a fundraising event. Have people to come in and have their cars washed, hand car washed on the side of the building for fundraising purposes. And sometimes that may contribute to some of the flow of the traffic. And the reason why I bring this up, because I've been around long enough. I remember when Bank of America first opened and when ShopRite and all the other businesses were in full swing, the traffic flow within the parking lot was not necessarily optimal. I do know, you know, your plans show a different layout. However, I just don't want to repeat what's happening up at Starbucks up the street where they are blocking some of the lanes up there while they're waiting. And then if you go even further into South Plainfield, the Chipotle drive-through lanes is always chaotic with the whole parking. So I just want to make sure that this is not going to be a repeat action, and I know you're going to have a traffic expert testify, mm-hmm. but some of these little items is never anticipated in a traffic report or engineering report. And I just want to make sure we don't create more. I'm not saying I'm not in favor of this application. I'm just concerned that, you know, if and when Kimco gets another tenant in there, to the building where ShopRite left, I just don't want any traffic, you know, constrictions within the parking lot, even though you're doing a lot of signage mm-hmm. to try to steer people to which way they're supposed to be going in the drive-through lanes.
Yeah, understood on the concern. I think, you know, that's something that I'm sure Kimco would be willing to work out and kind of come up with a better plan for, right? Obviously, you know, they don't want to take that away from Applebee's, but I think something like that, like a car wash fundraiser, typically takes place midday. The Dunkin' specifically would have peak hours during the early morning. And also with the way we've oriented the drive-through lane, the entrance is actually pointed away from where the Applebee's is. So if there is a stacking in the Dunkin', it shouldn't conflict too much with what's going on in the Applebee's. But as you mentioned, I mean, I'm sure my traffic engineer has some other thoughts on that, but that's at least the first thoughts I have.
I just wanted to make sure that the applicant was aware that was going on. I'm not suggesting that, you know, they tell Applebee's that they can't do it, but I just want to let you know sometimes during some Saturdays and Sundays that does happen.
Understood.
Any other questions from the board?
Hi, this is Phil Echeverry. Mr. Ortiz, this may be a very nuanced question, so I apologize, but with the Dunkin' Donuts that currently exist, there's no drive-through. The one that we're adding in, is there a drive-through? Is there any estimates on the amount of uptick in customer service that you expect from a drive-through? Just trying to anticipate as if ShopRite gets filled, the development now has more customers, just lines that kind of break in that cause a little more traffic when people try to park. I don't know if you guys have rough estimates or if that's for your other engineer.
I can offer some thoughts on that. I'm sure my traffic engineer has more to add. In general, the addition of a drive-through to a Dunkin' does increase the efficiency, and while it does tend to draw more customers, it does tend to work through them quicker because they're able to just fly through the drive-through. Specifically with a Dunkin' compared to the rest of the site, the larger building, the biggest thing we focus on is the difference in peak hours. Dunkin' is very busy. It's popping in the morning and the early morning, whereas the rest of the shopping center probably won't open until, you know, later in the morning, 7, 9 a.m. So, and by that time, most of the morning commuting traffic that would pass through that Dunkin' has passed. So that's my quick thoughts to the question. I'm sure, you know, Craig's testimony would cover more of that. And if not, you can ask him the question and see what he has to say.
Can I ask counsel, do you have the operator here tonight? There's a reason I'm asking, because this will clarify this.
Yeah, we have a representative here from the operator. Okay.
The reason I ask is when it comes into play, I always ask the operators, how much business do you get via the app versus the actual drive-through? Because what's happening is, and I've done several Dunkin' applications, the app is almost becoming a plurality of their business. So what happens is it's people order on the app and they're going into the drive-through to pick up, which reduces the amount of time. But I will leave that up to you to testify to. That may help Mr. Echeverria in his question there.
Okay, I think a representative was here and heard the question. I don't know if he can communicate with us, if he has any data on how that app mobile ordering impacts. So.
Ms. Kinback, what's his name? Because I have a few attendees that didn't sign on through the link, so I could give him access to speak if he'd like.
So I see, and maybe whoever wants to respond can raise their hand. It may be Himanshu Patel or Dwar Patel.
Yeah,
I see Dwar Patel, yep.
Anyone who's gone through a drive-through who has kids will tell you that's half your time is getting the order straight. If you've ordered any order on the app, it's just like one and done. You come up and say, this is my order, and you pick it up.
Okay, I think Mr. Himanshu had his hand raised, so he could be sworn to answer the question.
Let's swear him in if he's going to be answering any questions.
Sure.
Please. Ms. Saunders, if you want to unmute.
Yes, I'm unmuted and I have my camera on.
Yep.
Okay. Can you please raise your right hand, please? Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Do we have his name?
Himanshu Patel. I'm a franchisee. I'm the operator.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so I can answer the question regarding this. You're absolutely right that since the COVID era, that we've been going through more of this drive-through, and we order through the app, and these days that we are getting about 25% of our sales through the app. So when the guest person order, if they come, by the time they come, the places, you know, orders are ready. Either they come in a drive-through or they come in the front and pick up the orders. So it's about 25% of the sales we get in of a typical store.
Thank you.
Does it answer your question?
It does. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, are there any other questions from the board members or anyone else here before we actually open it up to the public?
Now, listen, just one statement, Chair. This applicant team, they sent me responses here. They were very thorough. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Fine. Now we're going to open it up to the public for anyone who has any questions of this previous witness. Would you indicate by waving your hand if you have a question?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to members of the public on this witness. You can call your next witness.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My next witness is our traffic engineer, Mr. Craig Paragoy.
I'm here.
Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about the guilt will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure, my name is Craig Paragoy, P-E-R-E-G-O-Y.
Thank you.
Mr. Paragoy, can you provide the board with your professional and educational background?
Sure. I have a bachelor's degree in civil engineering from Virginia Tech. I'm a licensed professional engineer in New Jersey. I testify pretty much regularly on a nightly basis in front of planning and zoning boards. I've testified here in Piscataway, and I live here in Piscataway. So, Mayor Waller, I know about the car wash. It's going to show up more than just on the engineering plans. So I'm very familiar with the area, and I miss ShopRite being in our side of the border.
And did you say your license is current in good standing? Sorry,
it is, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. He's acceptable.
Just one question. Are you with Dynamic Engineering, or do you have your own firm?
It's Dynamic Traffic. We're affiliated with Dynamic Engineering, but it was a traffic firm.
Thank you.
Sure.
Sorry, Ms. Kim, back. Your witness.
Okay. Mr. Paragoy, did you prepare a report in support of this application that analyzed the traffic impacts and parking?
We did.
Would you like to explain to the board the analysis you conducted and conclusions in your report?
Sure. I'll go through the traffic impacts, the parking, and the drive-through queuing, and try not to bore you with all the too many details. For the traffic side of things, when we look at a shopping center like this, the ITE, the Institute of Transportation Engineers, and New Jersey DOT consider this whole thing a shopping center, and they would run the traffic numbers based on the square footage of the shopping center itself, which isn't changing. So if we were on a state highway, this would be zero increase. But we did take a look and drill down at the difference between the bank, the former Bank of America, and the Dunkin'. And the real key here is the pass-by traffic associated with these uses. In other words, somebody's already on South Washington or Centennial, and they pop in to go to the drive-thru to pick up their coffee or their sandwich on the way to work and continue on their way. So that car would have been there no matter what. You have some of that with the bank, but you don't have nearly as much as you do with a Dunkin'. So if I isolate just the bank and the Dunkin' and look at the new traffic, how much traffic would impact the roads, the difference is an increase in the morning, obviously Dunkin's busiest in the morning, of 21 trips in the peak hour. It's actually a decrease in the evening of 18. And then Saturday, the Saturday midday gives me an increase of 23. But that's because they don't really isolate morning and evening for Saturday. Obviously, the Dunkin's increase is going to be more so in the morning than it is in the midday. And that really makes it a good fit here from a traffic and even a parking standpoint, because you have a shopping center that has uses that primarily are going to peak in the midday in the afternoons, whereas this is going to be its busiest in the morning. So it really is a nice fit there. And I know when ShopRite was there, I used to try to get there as early as possible because that was when everything else was the least busy and you could get a better parking spot. So it fits really well from a traffic perspective. And considering you're moving one location to the other, you're really just sort of shifting that traffic and not really creating any substantial negative impacts. With regard to the parking, the last iteration that I think this board reviewed included the shopping center with the Applebee's, and then there was a dental office in there and the bank. And if you do the math based on the ordinance requirements, I won't bore you with all of it, but the math was 626 spaces were required and 489 spaces provided. So it was a shortfall of 137 spaces that was a variance was previously granted for, previously approved. That dental office is now gone. Presumably it's going to wind up going back to some sort of retail use. And everything else stays the same. The bank and the Dunkin' parking requirement is the same. But we are losing, as was in the prior testimony, seven spaces for the drive-through, and then the Patel Brothers grocery store that's going to come into half of the ShopRite space. They're taking four spaces away for shopping cart corrals. So you're losing 11 spaces, but if you do the math without that medical office in there, the total requirement is 604 spaces, whereas we're going to have 478 proposed. That shortfall reduces from the previously approved 137 down to 126 spaces. So we're actually reducing the delta there. Now, that's the technicality part of it from the ordinance numbers. The reality is, Dunkin's obviously, again, has its peak parking demand in the morning. The Patel Brothers store, the pizza place, all those places, most everything in that shopping center, Applebee's, is in the evening or the afternoon. So again, it's going to fit. We did do some parking counts. I know it's like a ghost town compared to when ShopRite was there, but we just wanted to get an idea of, the parking availability. We counted on Tuesday, September 30th, and Saturday, October 4th, during the peak times. There were 450 spaces vacant in the morning when the Dunkin' would have its peak period, and a total of 403 vacant overall on the Tuesday. That was when that happened, and that was at 7 p.m. when it was at its minimum. Now, obviously, all that vacancy is because you have a huge amount of the space that's empty right now. But if you do the ordinance requirement based on that, about 65,000 and change space that's empty at one per 175 square feet, that would require 373 parking spaces. So there is enough to even meet the ordinance requirement left over based on those counts. Now, obviously, as I said, I shop at that ShopRite all the time, and I know it was crazy. I didn't count parked vehicles at the time. I was going to get groceries, but I did look back. We have a high resolution aerial software that has four or five shots a year, gone all the way back to 2014. So I went back and looked at all those, and I found one that was pretty representative of how busy it used to get. And during that, high-end time, there were 66 parking spaces vacant on that entire site. But what's interesting is 38 of those 66 are back by where the Dunkin' is. Those spaces around right at the intersection that are kind of on the curve there, they're almost always available. So not only are we kind of offsetting the peak parking demand by bringing in a morning use, but we're putting it in the most remote part of the shopping center where even when it was super busy, it was not filling up in that area. So from a parking perspective, I don't see any issues at all. Last thing I'll get into is the queuing. I heard the Starbucks was mentioned. They only have a six car stack, and they're the only drive-through coffee game in town right now. We have a nine car stack, so we got 50% more than they do. And I think you're going to split some of that. I think some people who are Dunkin' people, maybe I don't want to get out of my car and walk in bad weather, so they go to Starbucks. So maybe we're going to bring some of that traffic over here and split it a little bit. So I think we have enough here. I'll get into that, but I think we also may help that situation at the Starbucks. So in terms of the drive-through usage, about 75% of the traffic at Dunkin's goes through the drive-through, so you don't really have people walking in too much. And as was mentioned, the app really helps make that more efficient. But what I did, and it's in my report, we did a queuing analysis based on the service time and that 75% of the traffic going through the drive-through. And the 95th percentile queue, that's what you would typically design to, was five cars. Again, we have nine stacking spaces available. The probability, and this procedure calculates the probability of exceeding X number of vehicles. So if I look at nine, what's the probability of one car hanging out past that nine? It's 0.6%. So I think we have certainly plenty of drive-through stack available. And again, we're in the most remote part of the shopping center. And the only time you would ever see an extended queue that might even approach nine vehicles would be in the morning when the rest of the place is pretty quiet. Applebee's, I don't even think they serve breakfast at Applebee's, so that's not there. And I don't think anybody's getting their car washed at that time either. So overall, it's a good fit. It's a good improvement, and it hopefully brings some life back to that place. That's it. Hopefully I didn't bore everybody.
Thank you. Members of the board, you have any questions of this witness? Hello, is everybody still with
I did. I put them all to sleep. See
us?
that?
I guess we have
I
no
mean, I
questions.
have no questions. Maybe I
Okay,
could just
here we
say
go.
this. I don't know that if you could answer this question is, we're talking about that particular shopping center, and quite frankly, it's not where the Dunkin' Donuts is, but up by where the stores are is always that. It's just a terrible situation when ShopRite was there with the way traffic flow went. I mean, would there be any availability at all? I know our ordinances call for a certain amount of parking spots, but couldn't some of these aisles be made either bigger or maybe make one that doesn't have parking spaces that might alleviate it? And it's not really for this application necessarily, but just generally that maybe Kimco could redo that and it would still be conforming. I'm not sure. I am just throwing it out there as an option.
Yeah, and I understand. I know right what you're talking about, where it's sort of like it's a slalom right in front of where the main entrance to ShopRite was. And I think a couple things, you make the aisles wider, and then you get people going faster, which we don't want. That's where a lot of the pedestrian activity is. And I think it really depends on what's going to go on the other half of that ShopRite. What kind of user is going to go in there? The good thing is the ShopRite splitting into two. I mean, I know ShopRite had that secondary entrance to the weird side, the pharmacy side thing, but
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
went into the main door. So you kind of concentrated everybody right in that one spot where it's a little bit of a curve. So I'm hoping that, the Patel brothers, which I hope they're successful, but I can't imagine they're going to be as busy as ShopRite. And then whatever use comes in are going to split the pedestrians to two different locations. So hopefully that'll help.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, thank you.
So just a quick comment, Mr. Paraguay. I always use the pharmacy side as my entrance. So, just want to.
Once you're in the know, you realize that's the way to go. But sometimes the shopping carts are on the other side.
I just want to, no question. Just want to thank you for explaining the traffic side of things very clearly. Central Jersey, ton of traffic. That area is high traffic. So it's nice to hear that there is a plan to make sure that we're not adding small traffic to already existing big traffic. So thank you for that explanation.
And
Okay.
thanks for the slalom comment. Winter Olympics and all. So that's good.
Oh
It's
gosh.
kind of what I think about when he's crawl through there.
So does anybody have an actual question? Then did we open it up to the public for this witness?
Not yet.
Okay. Then let's open it up to the public for any questions that they may have pertaining to traffic for this witness. Would you please indicate by wave of the hand on?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Close to the public. Hey, do you have another witness?
I do, Madam Chair. Thank you. Our final
Mm-hmm.
witness is our professional planner, Mr. Justin Osceola.
Okay.
Good evening.
Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Yes, absolutely. It's Justin Osceola, AUCIELLO.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Osceola. Can you provide the board with your professional and educational background?
Yes, absolutely. I have a master's in city regional planning from Rutgers University that was granted in 2005. I've been a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey since 2008. I am a partner with Capone Consulting Group, located at 52 Reckless Place in Red Bank. I've been qualified as a professional planner at planning and zoning boards throughout the state on hundreds of occasions. I have appeared in front of your planning board and zoning board on multiple occasions over the years as well.
And your license is current and in good standing?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Does the board accept Mr. Osceola's qualifications?
Absolutely.
No, Mr. Osceola, you were present for all the testimony here tonight.
Yes, I was.
Thank you.
So this is an application, as you heard from our site engineer and our traffic engineer. This is in my opinion, a classic C1 and C2 application. As the board is aware, even though we do require multiple variances, most of these variances are for existing conditions. Due to conditions that are of no fault of our own, but it's just within the confines of the shopping center, also in the confines of the existing bank building as well. So under the C1 criteria, I would process this as being an exceptional situation due to existing physical conditions on the site. And of course, that's the existing building and the overall shopping center. As you know, I had stated, as the previous witnesses have stated, there are numerous existing conditions that are not going to change on the site. Of course, we also have the confines of having this being a corner lot with you know, two frontages. So that like in and of itself also presents some practical difficulties. So with that said, it is my opinion that the strict application of the zoning requirements would cause practical difficulty that would hinder the overall zoning objectives that are handled under the C2 criteria. In terms of the C2 criteria, which is also known as flexible C, which is essentially a test of whether or not there are public benefits associated with this application and the variances that are required. Of course, this proposal is a reuse of an existing commercial structure. I would also add that it is a highly visible structure that is currently vacant right near the intersection. So from a planning standpoint, we always seek to ensure that spaces are not vacant in shopping centers. That goes to overall vitality, but it also sends a certain signal to the community as well. So it is my opinion that by occupying this building with the Dunkin' use, which obviously is, as the board knows, is a popular use in the town and also in the state, that does represent good planning and leads to a more functional shopping center. And it's not just my opinion. You did hear the testimony from our site engineer and our traffic engineer relative to the ability of this site to accommodate the Dunkin' use in a safe and efficient manner. The signage that is proposed, it is my opinion that it is essential to provide for necessary wayfinding. Two frontages. There is not, I would note for the record, there is not an existing pylon sign that is, fairly typical in shopping centers. So there is the need to provide for adequate wayfinding. I believe the signage package, as had been testified by our site engineer, is pretty modest. It's attractive, and is really intended to ensure that motorists can both find the site and also when they're on the site can navigate the site properly as well. As you did hear from our site engineer, there's proper lighting and landscaping proposed. I would also add that as existing, there's quite nice landscaping and berming that's on the frontages as well. I believe what's proposed is a nice supplement to that. I would note from a planning standpoint, another benefit, there is a minor reduction of impervious coverage. That is something that I always look for in my review of applications, and I believe that certainly is a public benefit. Certainly, I think overall there are numerous public benefits here that do advance sound planning, and that is a good segue into the purposes of zoning that I see that are advanced relative to the municipal land use law. I would note for the record, criteria A, to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use of land in the state to promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. Certainly by occupying a vacant building with the use that certainly is in demand, that will be a benefit to the community, but also a use that, as you heard from both witnesses, will operate safely and efficiently. I believe this is a benefit to the general welfare. Criteria G, to provide for sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of uses. This is a permitted use in the SC zone. Certainly there is sufficient space as well, as testified by the other experts. Criteria H, to encourage the location and design of transportation routes which will promote the free flow of traffic, while discouraging location of such facilities and routes that will result in congestion or blight. As you heard from our traffic engineer, this site can certainly accommodate this use, both from a traffic circulation standpoint and parking standpoint. Criteria I, to promote a desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangement. Certainly, this is an attractive building, you know, properly sized signage, and I believe this fits within the overall scope and design of the shopping center. And I, to encourage, and excuse me, criteria M, to encourage coordination of various public and private procedures and activity shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development and to the more efficient use of land. I think from a planning standpoint, by occupying an existing vacant building with an active use that fits within this, in the style and scope of a shopping center, is certainly efficient. It's also efficient, notwithstanding the fact that you know, tearing this building down and replacing with something else, it would be inefficient. So I think this certainly is good planning by occupying this vacant use. That's a positive criteria. In terms of negative criteria, I certainly don't see any substantial detriment to the public good. Again, reuse of the structure, it's not a noxious use. This site is, this pad site is well accommodated for this use. Parking is sufficient, no negative impacts to parking or circulation. There is a berm, as I had stated, on the property frontages. No impact to the neighbors. And as was stated earlier, even though there is a residential zone to the south, there's a stream, there's, you know, there are trees there and there's a park as well. So no impact to that area. In addition, no impairment to the intent and purpose of the zone plan, zoning order to the master plan. This site, this shopping center has been here for, you know, for decades. Certainly it is a permitted use. It's certainly consistent with the zone plan, zoning ordinance, and the master plan. Master plan speaks to economic development by occupying this, you know, this building certainly helps to achieve those goals. So, you know, with all that said, certainly I think from a professional planning standpoint, the benefits of these variants or of granting these variances certainly outweigh the detriments. And if the board does find any detriments, the statutory criteria is substantial. And I certainly don't see any detriments that would ever rise to the level of being substantial in this application.
Thank you, Mr. Alciello.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the board or for this witness? Hearing no questions, let's open it up to the public.
Madam Chair, can I ask one question,
yeah, sure.
Mr. Alciello? I'm going to lead the witness here. Mr. Alciello, okay. This you. Is a pretty large site, isn't it?
Absolutely it is.
Okay. So in your experience with Dunkin' Donuts or other drive-through facilities, this is a pad site. This is not a typical site for a Dunkin'.
No, it's not.
I mean, and I think everybody can relate to Starbucks. Dunkin's are on smaller parcels. This is a big parcel. And they have a lot of queuing thing here because there's not a lot of public impact from this. So this site could absorb the drive-through. Would that be correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is certainly a, you know, unique opportunity to site a Dunkin' in a site that could absorb, you know, the demand from a planning standpoint.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other members have questions of this witness? Hearing no response from the members of the board, we'll open it up to the public. Members of the public, you've heard the testimony of this planner. Does anyone have any questions? Please do so by waving their hand.
No, Madam Chair.
Close to the public. Do you have any other witnesses, Madam?
No, that concludes our presentation.
Okay, do you have a closing? You have any closing statements you want to give?
I'll rely on how Mr. Alciello wrapped up the application, you know, that it's a adaptive reuse to revitalize shopping center. The pad's been vacant for a number of years. We are reducing impervious coverage. And despite the relief requested as part of the application, we believe the benefits outweigh the detriments. So we're asking the board for an approval tonight. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Members of the board?
I know we open to the public for questions of Mr. Osiello, just to confirm for the record, if maybe at a later point you open up for general comments from the public, just to cover that.
Well, that's not, that's that can be done. Members of the public, you've heard the testimony of three witnesses regarding this application for a very central site in this township. If anyone has any questions for any sum up questions for any of the witnesses, you can do so by raising your hand at this time.
No one, Madam Chair.
Closed to the public. Members of the board, do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I make a motion that this application be approved, subject to the applicant complies with all the said reports, and I looked through all of them and seems to agree with everything, and I make a motion that this application be approved as set forth.
I will second that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night, all.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
I'm not going yet. I didn't close the meeting yet.
Okay. Well.
Okay. Well, we have completed our agenda. I just want to remind you that our next planning board meeting for March will be March 11th, and our subdivision site planning meeting will be on March 25th. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Have a wonderful good night, everybody.
Be safe and happy.
Mm-hmm. Good night, everyone.
And warmer. You.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
We're having a heat wave. It's going to be 50 next week.
Oh, I can't wait.
I love that. I love snow, but I'm tired of this.
I can't even. All right, have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.